You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. We wanted to welcome Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our part in The New York Times, back to the studio this morning to explain something she said yesterday which caught our eyes and ears. Louise, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And let me just say at the top, pins and needles over at your shop this morning, thinking about the four colleagues in Libya who have gone missing.
Yeah,
I know you don't have an update, but...
No, I don't have an update, but, you know, whenever any of this happens, it reminds you of how much risk so many journalists take.
So perhaps, you know, it's apropos to talk about something you mentioned yesterday, a financial instrument that's being created by derivative brokers and investment banks to deal with some of the crises that we've witnessed over the last few weeks, particularly the catastrophe in Japan. You mentioned something called catastrophe bonds, cat bonds. Are these actually being traded right now?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a growing market, John. The cat bond market, what it is, it's a bit like, you know, those mortgage securities we've talked about on here so much.
But where you make bets on mortgages going south, literally bet that they're going to go bad.
Well, you know, there's different types, but, you know, a lot of the mortgage securities that went bad in the financial crisis were bundles of actual people's loans, and then investors owned bonds full of your loans. Well, this is very similar. These cat bonds are bundles of insurance risk. So what these investors are betting on is they're hoping that the insurance policies don't have to pay out. So they're essentially long on risk. They are, and what happens is when there are catastrophes, the people who own these cat bonds, the cat bonds have to cover the risk that the insurance companies took. So this is appealing to some degree to insurance companies, because when they write you a policy on your home, then what they can do is they can go and to the market, they can go to a bank like Goldman, which is Goldman Sachs,
right,
is very big in this area. And Goldman will take the risk away from the insurance company if there's, say, an earthquake. And they'll put it in this package that investors out there, hedge funds and pension funds, buy. And if everything goes smoothly, if there's no earthquakes, for instance, then the people who own this cat bond don't lose money on it.
So cat bonds, I love the acronyms on Wall Street, QE2, quantitative easing, you know, that's an acronym, cat bonds, catastrophe,
yes,
bond here. Is this a matter of a billionaire goes to Goldman Sachs and says, hey, I want to make a bet here to save my investment in case things go bad, and Goldman comes up with something like this? Or is it something that, you know, a single kind of retail investor says, I think the world's going to end. I'd like to bet on that. And they go into the market on this. Is this for retailers or is this for billionaires?
You can't really buy these generally unless you're a sophisticated investor. So, John, I don't know that you could get entry into this.
No matter how negative I feel on a given day, I can't buy into this market.
But, you know, actually, people who buy these feel kind of positive. Because when you buy these, you're betting that they won't have,
right,
to pay out. You're essentially becoming an insurance company. What you're doing is you're taking the risk from the insurance company. But the argument for this is these hedge funds out there, for instance, that trade cat bonds, they say, we can model the risk better than that insurance company. And so they hire their own meteorologist and they try to model the risk. And then these bonds are packages of insurance risk that's really diversified from lots of different places. So, you know,
okay, call me, you know, overly 19th or 20th century here, but I thought that the way the insurance industry made their money was by collecting a bunch of money from a whole huge group of people, most of whom are not going to experience any kind of catastrophic damage or loss, and therefore they had this pool of money. They only have to pay for the damages of a few number of them, and they took their profits from the rest of the premiums that everyone else paid.
So it feels to you like Wall Street is eating into the insurance,
exactly,
industry's bread and butter.
Right.
Well, you know, Wall Street likes to eat into profit centers. But, you know, remember Hurricane Andrew in the early 90s? That really kicked off the beginning of this market. The market slowly started then. By the late 90s, it was growing. And that's because weather events have become a lot fiercer, more unpredictable. Some people think it's because of global warming, you know. And insurance companies at sometimes are saying, gee, you know, we'll take the risk that there's a fire on someone's house or that there are, you know, these normal events that happen, but a huge, you know, Katrina or something like that. So some of the insurance companies are willing to pass on some of this risk that is so unpredictable.
Well, it's not even willing. It's you're describing. Now, that's a huge takeaway, that basically there's a revolution going on in the insurance industry.
Yes.
Because of so many catastrophic events, Katrina, Hurricane Andrew, which is now a long time ago, this situation in Japan.
In Japan.
You can't model insurance the way you used to. Is that
well,
what you're saying?
That's right. It's hard to model now. And even a lot of little things really add up. Like a number of the insurance companies, Allstate, Travelers, they all took losses in the fourth quarter from things like hailstorms in Arizona and mudslides in California. You know, even these little things that are happening so frequently everywhere are not in the normal insurance models.
So it's kind of like auto insurance in the sense that you get one rate if you're a great driver, but all of a sudden, if they see you in the bar driving erratically, the insurance rate goes up. The earth itself has become kind of a drunk driver in the catastrophic terms.
That's right. It has. And so that's why there's this opportunity for Wall Street to pass it on to investors who are willing to take more risk than some of the insurance companies want to take. And the insurance companies pay a premium to these investors. So it's cutting into insurance companies' profits. But when there are these catastrophes, if they're in these bonds, they'll be borne by the investors out there.
All right. So no, be totally honest with us here. Is this basically a safety net for the insurance companies, as you've described, or does Warren Buffett make big money on this stuff?
It's a safety net for insurance companies. But, you know, the skeptic in me, after living through the financial crisis, does look at this and say, if it gets too big, will the investors out there at some point really panic when there's too many catastrophes? And does it put us back where we were a few years ago with mortgage bonds? So I say watch this area very carefully.
We should mention also that only 14% of the Japanese held insurance on many of these losses in terms of losing their homes. Very low insurance rates
there.
That's
a good point. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter and a professional skeptic for our partner, The New York Times.
I thought that was your job description.
We're glad you're on the case, Louise.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.